On today's episode of the Mystery Kids podcast, we're going to go into the Great Lake cryptids. And you heard me right, cryptids. There's more than one.
Welcome to the Mystery Kids podcast.
Welcome, welcome. We are so glad to have you back. Sorry, it's been a month. If you are a parent, you understand. It is, someone called it, what do they call it? Maytember. And I think that's so accurate. And that's even for me as like a homeschool mom. And so we're going to shift some gears and I'm going to go to our summer schedule, which means that we're just going to release one episode a month. Unless you're a patron, you get two bonus episodes every month. I'm going to try for once a month. If I can get you a bonus episode in once a month, that would be great. But honestly, with our time and also our new house, I cannot record while the kids are home because I can hear them from everywhere. So we're going to try to switch it up, just go to once a month. And if there's extras, it's great. But if you want more than that, then make sure to join our patrons. I will always have two bonus episodes there for you. First off, I want to say thank you to our newest patrons. We've got Ari and Juju. Thank you so much. And Bobby. We are so excited to have you as a patron. So if you are a patron or have become a patron and I've not done your shout out, I have at the very top pinned on the patron page to put your name in for a shout out. So that way it was easier than me trying to like search some messages, figure out all of those pieces. So just plugging your name right in there so that I can announce it every single month if you're brand new. That would be so fantastic and make my life a little bit easier. I know it's the very end of May, but we have to say happy birthday because it is that time. And my birthday is such a special thing. I want to make sure your birthday is such a special thing for you. So here is our May birthdays. We've got Veronica, Jordan, Gunnar Buchinski, James Kilburn, Isaac, Griffin and Gabby Brow, Mason, Stefan, Archer, Bentley, Neil, Meyer, Shelby, Austin, Zoe, and Gemma. Happy, happy birthday. I hope you had a wonderful birthday month of May. Now let's dive into our episode. Today we are going to talk about the Great Lakes region monsters. And a couple episodes I did a mini episode about one that's kind of close to the Great Lakes. It was the Loveland Frogman. And it kind of came up when I did the search and started looking into the Great Lakes cryptids. But there are several cryptids here. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different cryptids. So this is going to be quite the episode. You're not getting one cryptid. You're getting 8 cryptids. So let's jump into them and learn all that we can about these cryptids. And the first one we're going to learn about is Bessie. I'm so excited. Not Nessie, Bessie. But they do have a lot in common. So I grabbed all this information from the page cryptids.fandom.com. And this is where I found the 8 different creatures. And if you live in the Great Lakes, I'm so excited because maybe you've heard of these. I know I love doing places that are close to me, but honestly, I've never been up by the Great Lakes regions, but I've heard like you look across them and it looks like an ocean. Like they are very, very big. Hint why they're called the Great Lakes because like they're just gigantic. So, I mean, the only thing I have to compare it to is when I lived in Utah, the Great Salt Lake, which was very, very large, but still you could see a large island in the middle. So I've never had something like this where it looks so big and it has kind of appearance of an ocean. It even has like waves that happen. So it's not surprising to me that there would be cryptids surrounding this because even smaller lakes, like Lake Loch Ness, it's not a massive lake. It's actually pretty like relatively small from the, you can see in like Loch Ness from everything that I've learned about it, you can always see the other side. So something as large as the Great Lakes where you can't see across them, of course, it's going to have myths, legends, and cryptids surrounding it. So one of Lake Erie's most iconic features is Bessie, or they're known as South Bay Bessie. So Bessie has been spotted in the lake from Canada to Pennsylvania. Bessie is a name given to the alleged lake monster in Lake Erie because Bessie has very many similar traits to Nessie of Loch Ness. So they were like, you know, this really sounds a lot like Nessie. How about we name her Bessie? Seems logical. So the first recorded sight of Bessie actually occurred in 1793, and more sightings have occurred since and in greater frequency in the last three decades. Bessie is reported to be a snake-like and about 9 to 12 meters or 30 to 40 feet long, at least in a foot in diameter with a grayish color. While shooting ducks north of Sandusky, Ohio in 1793, the captain of the sloop Felicity startled a large snake-necked creature described as more than a rod, so 16 and a half feet in length, July 1817. Now, the crew of a schooner reported a 30 to 40 foot long serpent who was dark in color. Later that year, another boat crew spotted a similar animal. This time it was copper colored and about 60 feet in length. This time they shot at it with their muskets, which had no visible effects. Now, a third incident in 1817 took place near Toledo when French settlers, two brothers named Dussault, encountered a huge monster on the beach, writhing in what they took to be its death throes. The brothers described it as between 20 to 30 feet in length and shaped like a large sturgeon, except that it had arms. The panicked brothers, they fled the scenes, and when they returned later, the creature had disappeared, presumably carried off by waves after its death. Now, all that was left of its presence were marks on the beach and a number of silver scales about the size of silver dollars. Wonder if people still, maybe in that family, have those big silver scales. It'd be so interesting to like have those taken off and studied. So an extraordinary sighting took place by the entire crew of a ship bound from Buffalo, New York to Toledo, Ohio in July 1892, which was carried by local newspapers. The crew, including the captain, saw a large area of water approximately 1/2 mile ahead of them churning up and foaming. As they approached, they saw a huge sea serpent that appeared to be wrestling about in the waters as if fighting an unseen foe. They observed as the creature relaxed itself and stretched out full length, estimated about 50 feet and 4 feet in circumference, with its head sticking above the water and an additional 4 feet. The brownish creature's eyes were described as viciously sparkling, and a large fins were also noted. I just hope that one day my husband looks in my eyes and he's like, your eyes are viciously sparkling. That's like, it seems like it's such a counter observant thing. Anyways, okay, so Crystal Beach near Fort Erie was the scene of another sighting on May 5th of 1896. Now, this time there were four eyewitnesses who watched for 45 minutes as a 30-foot creature with a dog-shaped head and pointed tail churned up the water as it swam about until it finally disappeared before nightfall. Now, there's a reward of $100,000 that has been offered by Huron Lagoons Marina for the capture of Bessie, dead or alive. So if we want to look at some more recent sightings, and not recent as in, okay, recent to me it feels like, but not to you guys. So in 1995, in Pennsylvania's largest lake, reports of an unknown creature began. The maximum depth varies depending on the part of the lake and ranges from 1,300 feet to 490 feet. So Lake Erie has no outlets and has a strong alkaline or pH scale. We talked about this in one of our lake, the Pink Lake episode, about strong alkaline and what it does to the animals that are in that area and how they withstand it. But anyways, it's got a pH of 9.7 or 9.8 because it's being fed by rainwater and small streams flowing from the surrounding mountains. And again, doesn't have an outlet. So the report started in 1995, but it didn't really get any big attention until 1997, when a video of the creature and a blurry photo were taken and even prompted a CNN article, which was published June 12th of 1997. The creature is said to be about 30 to 50 feet in length and appears similar to a plesiosaur or an ichthyosaurus. My son's going to be so mad I mispronounced that. Marine reptiles that lived at the same time as the dinosaurs. So I would love to know, what do you guys think? Do you think Bessie is probably a dinosaur that got trapped there and is still living there? Or maybe it's not even a thing anymore. I'd love to know your opinion. Next up is the underwater panther. The picture they have of it kind of looks like a dragon mixed with a lion going on here. Very interesting. So an underwater panther, I'm not even going to try to pronounce what it's called in other legends. It's one of the most important of several mythological water beings among many indigenous people of the northeastern woodlands and Great Lakes region, particularly among the Anishinaabe people. Now, it translates, the actual word translates to the Great Lynx. It has the head and paws of a giant cat, but it's covered in scales and has dagger-like spikes running along its back and tail. The Michipichu calls Michipichun Lake in Lake Superior has Lake Superior his home and is a powerful creature in the mythological traditions of some of the Native American tribes, particularly the Anishinaabe tribes, the Odawa, the Ojibwe, and the Potawatomi of the Great Lake regions of Canada and the United States. So it's got a lot of ancient legends mixed in with the Native people to the Americas. Now, according to some of these people, the underwater panther was the most powerful underworld being. They held them to be masters of all the water, including snakes. Now, some versions of these legend refers to a whole community of water lynx. And they believe that it was kind of like this complex culture in that area that was mixed with like prehistoric legends and with their strong beliefs of what this creature could be. Now, another translation, so it's called a great lynx. It's called a underwater panther. Another way that you can translate it is the fabulous night panther. I feel like that's like a club you can go hang out with. Go ahead, let's go to the fabulous night panther, or a car, like a really fancy panther car, the great underground wildcat, or the great underwater wildcat. Those are all different ways that you can translate these names, because it's got like seven or eight different names, which I will not try to pronounce because that is not my strong forte. But again, I'll link this article below and you are welcome to go take a look at that. So in the mythologies of the indigenous people of the Great Lakes, underwater panthers are described as water monsters. They live in opposition to thunderbirds, which they are the masters of the powers of air. Now, underwater panthers are seen as an opposing yet complementary force to the thunderbirds, and they are engaged in eternal conflict. Now, the underwater panther is made from many parts of different animals. So it's got the body of a wild feline, often a cougar or a lynx, the horns of a deer or a bison, the upright scales on its back, occasionally feathers, and parts of the other animals as well, depending on the particular myth. Now, underwater panthers are represented with the exceptionally long tails, occasionally with serpentine or snake-like properties. The creatures are thought to roar or hiss in the sounds of storms or rushing rapids. Now, they were said to live in the deepest part of lakes and rivers where they can cause storms. And some traditions believe that the underwater panthers to be helpful protective creatures, but more often they were viewed as malevolent beasts that brought death and misfortune. They often needed to be placated for safe passage across the lake. As late as the 1950s, the Prairie Band of Indians performed a traditional ceremony to placate the underwater panther and maintain balance with the thunderworld. So they were still doing these kind of traditional ceremonies as late into the 1950s because they truly thought that it was the way to kind of balance between the thunderbird being the like kind of king of the sky and the underworld panther being the king of the underworld. So they try to bring balance with these these traditional ceremonies. I never knew this. This is absolutely fascinating to me. So this creature is known for guarding the vast amounts of copper in Lake Superior and the Great Lake regions. The indigenous people mined copper long before the arrival of the Europeans to the area. And later, during the 17th century, missionaries of the Society of Jesus arrived in the Great Lakes regions. And by that time, swiping copper from the region was extremely taboo and forbidden by the Ojibwa tribe. It was even worse to take it from the Great Lynx's home, from Michoacan Island. This was considered to be stealing from the creature itself. Now, there's only a few stories of actual encounters with this great beast. There's actually a story in the 1850s where someone came here. He's an ethnographer, and he came here to study in the United States, and he found Fond du Lac Chief. He was a chief of the tribe there, and he kept a piece of copper in his medicine bag. And he said it was actually a strand of hair from the creature, and it was considered extremely powerful. So a lot of these encounters kind of happened a long time ago. But there was a Jesuit missionary named Claude de Boulogne who told a story about four Ojibwe. I'm going to go look that up real quick. Okay, there were several interpretations of how to say these Indians' names. It was Ojibwe or Ojibwe, but Ojibwe is the most common. So they embarked on a journey to the home of the creature to take some copper back to their home and use it to heat the water. The very second they pushed off and backed into the water with their canoe, an eerie voice of the water panther surrounded them. The water panther came growling after them, vigorously accusing them of stealing the playthings of his children. And all four of the Indians died on the way back to their village, the last one surviving just long enough to tell the tale of what was happening in his final moments before he died. The underwater panther is definitely a creature that's surrounded by myths and legends and so many past stories that I'm sure are so intertwined with the culture that was surrounding that area. Such a fascinating creature, and I've never heard of anything quite like it before. Next up on our creature feature is Lake Ontario Serpent. Now, this is a Canadian lake monster. There are many sightings for this creature, as well as local legends ranging from children's stories, settlers' tales, and modern sightings today. Now, the one thing that all these sightings have in common is that they tell of a long and serpent-like creature. The creature is known by other names such as the Gacinodithia, the Trichosaurus, and the Kingstie from Kingston on the east side of the lake. The creature or creatures could be inhabiting most of the Great Lakes too. And this is because there's some sightings of long eel-like monsters, and all the lakes are connected in some way or another. Now, the legend says from Seneca, the legend tells of a huge beast that inhabited the depths of the lake. They described it as a large and serpent-like creature. What was odd is they described it as also being able to fly and spew fire from its mouth. Now, they called it the meteor dragon, and this is because its origin was supposed to be from a meteoroid that struck the earth. So it was supposed to be kind of like this alien creature. I didn't know they had like alien thoughts and sightings clear back like pre-Columbus times. The next sighting was from a bunch of fur traders. The crew of fur traders' boats reported seeing a 30-foot-long great snake, and this made them unexpectedly turn back and postpone their trip from Toronto, York, to the Niagara region. I don't blame you. If I was like getting ready on my boat and see this 30-foot-long snake, I would definitely be postponing my trip slash canceling my trip forever. The next sighting was in 1829. On August 5th, two children were playing and they believed they saw a 20 to 30 foot long snake-like creature. And when their account was published in the local newspaper, it said, quote, "Not the first one of the kind that's been seen in Lake Ontario, and there can be no doubt of the existence of such monsters in our inland seas." Crazy. So the children said this was a hideous water snake or serpent of prodigious dimensions. This blows my mind that not only a newspaper would be like, yep, we've heard so many of these stories that there's no doubt that this creature truly does exist. One article I stumbled upon was the Kingstie hoax. So it was a lake monster invented in 1930 as an echo of the 1904 Lake George monster hoax. So it was reported as a strange creature with the head of a dragon and eyes of fire. So as a prank, they had fabricated a semblance of the creature using a barrel filled with empty bottles for buoyancy and fitted it with a dragon-like head, rope, and anchor to keep it one place, and a twine attached to the rope that ran underwater to the shore of Cartwright Bay to permit them to bob its barrel body head up and down. Could you imagine, like, such a hoax? Oh. Such a hoax. It'd be such an interesting, be like, okay, so many people are seeing this. So let's just like make it so a bunch of people can go see this creature. So interesting about the Lake Ontario serpents. And honestly, they've been seen and known as different names. And it's interesting because under one of the facts areas, it talked about that they probably have their own breeding colony in that area, which is why they continue to be seen. So fascinating. All right, next up is not Bessie, not Nessie. Now we got Pressie, P-R-E-S-S-I-E, Pressie. Here we go. Now Pressie has been described as being around 75 feet in length with a horse-like head and sharp, possibly jutting teeth set on a long neck. It is proposed to have a large pectoral fins that may have been held close to the body for streamlining. And its tail is not dissimilar to whales. So kind of looks like a whale creature with a horse head and like T-Rex teeth. Yep. So sightings of the monster date back to the 1800s, and one possible Pressie sighting notes the creature swam in a lake in a snake-like motion, and this occurred in 1897 near Duluth, Minnesota, when a man fell overboard on his yacht after hitting a rock. In the water, the man claimed that a creature attacked and attempted to constrict him. The whale-like creature? Maybe he's getting it confused with the other snake-like creature. Quite possible. There's not a lot on this one, but they say that the pressing sightings might actually could be like lake sturgeons, which can grow to be over 6 feet in length, or some species of snake. So there's not a lot on this one. And my thought is, I'm like, well, if Pressie is kind of similar to Bessie, who's to say like they weren't like friends or similar like types of creatures? Just a thought. Maybe it's not even a thing. Who knows? But just trying to think it through. Next is the Lake Erie Chomper. And man, this thing is creepy. There have been reports of people coming out of the waters of Lake Erie writhing in pain from a very strange creature that had bit the flesh off their legs. Now, the story begins in Pump House Beach near Port Dover, Ontario. 47-year-old Brenda McCormack had plunged into Lake Erie for a refreshing treat from the summer heat in 2001. She had not swam for long when she felt a toothy, Ma wrap around her calf and take a bite out of it. She quickly reached the shore, staggering and dripping blood as she moved, and there was a 6-inch series of circular bite marks in the shape of a jaw, similar to that of a cookie cutter shark. The following morning, a man and his young son were attacked by the same mysteriously savage creature, with which the boy was rushed to the hospital and was in critical medical attention from his wounds. Okay, that'd be terrifying. So many people spread rumors about what the creature could be. Some said it was a school of piranhas that were released into the lake. Who would do that? Like, how mean would that be to be like, you know, I just got this tank of piranhas and I'm just going to dump them into this lake? That would be absolutely horrible. Don't do that. But we also know from, if you've watched River Monsters, that piranhas don't just attack. Like that is actually, they really only like things that are dead. They do not just attack. That's kind of a myth. But many people spread rumors about what this creature could be. Some said it was a school of piranhas, a species of new shark, maybe, possible, or even Bessie, who was like, I'm going to swim up close to the shore and just take a little nibble on this. But whatever it seems not to have disturbed the population of Port Dover for over 15 years. So Dr. Harold Heinz has treated 3 patients who were attacked by the supposed Lake Erie Chomper. He studied the wounds and concluded that they were not from round gobies, lamprey eels, snapping turtles, walleye, and other musculunge type fish, as well as piranhas. The only fish that may well fit is the bowfin. And they are very aggressive and territorial. They even protect their nests for 9 weeks after spawning and strike very fast before people can react. Some believe that there's also the possibility that the Lake Erie Chomper might be a small bull shark. And I think I've read that before, that there has been seen of a like sighting in the Great Lakes of sharks that have come up like all the way up the Missouri. I'm going to have to look that up for sure. So that just might be, I've read so many articles that I might just be making that up in my brain. So don't take that as fact. Okay, none of the sightings have actually been proven as true, that there are sharks in the Great Lakes. It is very, very cold there. And again, it's freshwater, not saltwater. Not that that deters some sharks, but sharks have made it pretty far up the Mississippi. Let's see. They have made it, bull sharks especially, are urahaline and can thrive in both salt and freshwater. They are known for traveling far up rivers and have been known to travel up the Mississippi River as far as Elton, Illinois, about 1,100 kilometers or 700 miles from the ocean. That is absolutely crazy. Like, they've actually known that it can make it all the way to Illinois. But I mean, the Mississippi is a massive river. It almost seems like it's just a big flowing lake. But anyways, so now we know there's been no official sightings in the Great Lakes. All right, it gets better. Not Nessie, not Bessie, not Pressie, but Mussie. M-U-S-S-I-E is an alleged sea monster reported to be living in Muskrat Lake, 75 miles north or 121 kilometers north of Ottawa, Ontario, the capital of Canada. The legend has gone through a gradual image change over the years. It's not been decided if Mussie is a single creature or an entire species. Now, those who believe in it is just one creature often are stumped by its possible gender or appearance in general. So, in the past, the creature was called Hepazalor. This is why I named my children names that people could immediately say when they saw them, because man, pronouncing things is just so hard for me. I was not going to make it do it. Anyways, it was called Hepazalor. After witness, Donald Humphreys said the name popped into his head. Okay, that's why. He literally just made up the name. It wasn't like it was like a special scientific name. He literally was like, this just sounds like a great name. It was described as a great serpent with 3 eyes and sharp teeth that towered over its potential prey. Some say it's got 2 horse-like ears on top of its head with an extra ear in between, pointing backwards like a reverse unicorn. However, the interest of several Musi enthusiasts of various professional grades has helped to organize witness accounts and streamline the modern perception of Musi that appears less exaggerated. It is now most popularly imagined as an unknown type of marine mammal sharing its traits with a seal or a walrus. Now, local folklore says that while exploring the region over 300 years ago, Samuel de Champlain learned from the natives of the area of a legendary creature that lived in the lake. Though the legend may carry certain or may certainly descend from a native lore, no mentions is given by it in Champlain's memoirs. Nevertheless, the myth survived with help from a sign which once welcomed visitors to Culloden. The sign featured Champlain holding his most famous lost astrolabe while looking out over Muskrat Lake. And in the lake, prominently displayed is Musi, depicted to having three eyes and a long tongue. The sign is inaccurate in many ways, at least giving the impression that Champlain had actually encountered the creature. Though the sign has been replaced, its impact is still felt. Champlain is still the traditional starting point for many of the Musi tales. It has been theorized that the Musi was a type of freshwater pygmy walrus, similar to the seals in Seal Lake, Quebec. Now, eyewitness accounts support this theory with descriptions of sleek silver gray fur and long white teeth or tusks. And in 1988, Bradley conducted a sonar survey of the Muskrat Lake in an attempt to find evidence of Musi's existence. He failed to find anything substantial, though. He didn't capture any sonar images of two creatures. So he did capture sonar images of two different creatures, 6 to 8 feet long at a depth of 24 feet. Bradley noted that these creatures seemed to be undulating vertically, according to Bradley. This is remarkable because only two types of creatures undulate vertically. Invertebrate and marine mammals. The problem with this is that marine mammals need open water in the winter to survive, and the closest source of open water is at the mouth of the St. Lawrence River. So what does undulate vertically mean? Because that is not something, that's not a term I'm well known or well versed with. Okay, this took me a minute to actually search for this. So undulate means to move up and down, like to do a motion. So kind of like a snake motion. But vertically means up and down. So to literally make a motion that pulls you straight up and straight down versus something that's swimming, it's swimming horizontally, right? Or it can go diagonally. But for it to literally move up, like undulate, I'm like trying to do the motions, like you can see it. Anyways, that it can literally move up or down. So yes, like as he was talking and saying, this is only something that they've seen in like a few marine animals. That's very interesting. Huh. I've learned a bunch of new things in this episode. Right. Not last, we have one more after this, but we've got the Igopogo. It's also known as the Kemfelt Kelly, the Beaverton Bessie, and the Simcoe Kelly. I feel like it's got just random names, but it's a lake monster rumored to dwell in Lake Simcoe in Ontario, Canada. It was actually named in imitation of the Ogopogo and also inspired by the 1952 comic book Go Pogo. So interesting. Now, Igopogo is described as a gray seal-like animal with a dog or horse-like head. Its neck is long like a stovepipe, and it is from 12 to 70 feet long with prominent eyes and a gaping mouth. It has several dorsal fins and fish-like tail. Now, the Igopogo has been observed basking in the sun by eyewitnesses. Reports of the Igopogo date back to the 1800s. The first alleged sighting of the Igopogo is credited to the early settler David Soles. While washing sheep with his brother at the shore, the two saw large, long creatures leaving a wake in the water and trails in the mud. Then in July, on July 22nd, 1963, Reverend Bill Williams was boating on the lake with his family when they observed a charcoal-colored animal in the water. In August 1979, a woman reported to the local newspaper of having seen a big hump in the water while driving with two friends. On June 13th, 1983, a sonar sound of an allegedly large animal with a long neck was taken, and others still dispute this account, saying it could have been a school of fish that the sonar was thinking was a whole single unit of the animal. But in 1991, there was a videotape taken of a large seal-like animal. So based off the sightings, the explanation is that the Igopogo is speculated to be a pinniped, such as a seal or an otter. And even while on the Shirley Solomon show, John Kirk said the animal in the tape he was given looks like a massive seal of sorts. Regardless, sightings of the Igopogo haven't been reported for many years. Now, our last creature feature we've got is the Lake St. Clair serpent. You notice a lot of these are serpent creatures. Very interesting, very fascinating. But the Lake St. Clair serpent is a very fast eel-like serpent spotted in Lake St. Clair. Lake St. Clair is located on the northwest side of Lake Erie. The serpent is either related to the Lake Ontario serpent or is the same creature because of the similarities of its appearance and the fact that both bodies of water are connected. Makes perfect sense to me that they would just all be included as like the same thing. So the first sighting was seen on October 23rd of 1987. A newspaper called the Essex Free Press described a story of a monster being spotted in the lake. So, quote, while Miss Ella Burdink and some friends were out fishing on Lake St. Clair one evening last week at sundown, a dark, peculiar-looking object was seen coming up at the lake. They rowed very close to the object and were able to get a good look at it. It appeared to have a head somewhat like a dog and huge eyes protruding and a tusk-like projections on each side of its head. Its body appeared to lie some 7 or 8 feet underwater. Some fishermen also saw it and claimed it was some sort of sea serpent. It was clearly a very dangerous and horrible-looking object and was swimming at a very rapid pace. So the second sighting was sometime in 1897 also. An unknown number of fishermen left their horses ashore to go fishing, and a witness saw a creature drag an animal into the lake where it presumably devoured it. The witness called it an eel-like sea serpent while talking to the local authorities, and it took the horse into the lake. The horse's corpse was never discovered. Okay, well, that's a little bit more terrifying because not only, I thought they just were saying it saw an animal and drug an animal into the lake. No, it took their horse and drug it into the lake. That's terrifying. All right, the third sighting. Later in that same year, a creature was seen in the St. Clair Flats from a riverside hotel. The man who'd seen the creature said that it moved at a terrific rate of speed. Crazy. So a lot of these, I feel like some of these could probably be the same creature, especially because the lakes do connect. So very fascinating. Which one was your favorite creature? So we've got Bessie, the underwater panther, Lake Ontario serpents, Pressy, Lake Erie chomper, Mussy, Igopogo, Lake St. Clair serpent. Which one was your favorite of all of these? And I'll leave that question in a question and answer on Spotify. But thank you so much for listening. Thank you for being here. And we'll see you next time on the Mystery Kids Podcast.
Thanks for listening.